Welcome to part two of the cortisol class with Dr. Sarah. You know, in part one, we heard about the effects of cortisol on our body and our mind, emotions, and the three things we can really do to correct this imbalance. In part two, we delve deeper into this. We learn more ways to manage our cortisol to really see the tangible changes in our body and our moods.
I want to do a little bit of eat this, not this. And if you've got five or more symptoms of the high cortisol from that questionnaire that we went through, or three or more, and maybe got tested by your doctor, some other things you want to do are, number one, get rid of caffeine. So this is not my most popular recommendation. But I have to say, I'm going to tell you a little story here. I had a woman that I saw 2 days ago who is the executive director of a nonprofit in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And she went off of caffeine for 2 weeks recently. And here's what she found. She said, you know, I really had this belief, and still have this belief, that I have to have my caffeine to be productive. Mm-hmm. But when I don't drink it, here's what happens. She went off for 2 weeks. I slept about 2 more hours per night. I woke up feeling more restored. And I said, aha, you're having a longer adrenal repair conversation at night. And she said, yes. And I felt this calm. My nervous system was calm. I haven't felt calm in years. This woman's 41 years old. So, you know, she said, it's like I've got an angel on one side who says, oh yeah, give up that caffeine. And then I have the devil on the other side who's like, you're not going to be productive. You're not going to make it through your day and rock your mission unless you have that caffeine.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Right. It absolutely. I mean, I have switched to green tea, which is still, you know, you hear is better. But I do have to ask, is that even the green tea, when you hear about the antioxidants and everything, does green tea still fall into this caffeine category of wreaking havoc with your cortisol levels?
So this is where we need to do some calibration, Jackie. There are some women who are drinking, you know, high-octane, fully loaded, regular coffee, and that is certainly worse than green tea. But this woman, it's funny, it seems like everyone who came to see me this week was 41. This woman was actually talking about green tea. So when she stopped the green tea for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. she slept 2 more hours a night. She felt more calm. So I think it's important to say, what's true for you? Rather than for me to say, you must give up all of these things, I think it's important to say, what happens with your sleep? Because that's much more powerful for you to track that in your accountability journal than for me to say, you must do this, you must do that.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very interesting. Because I'm a green tea drinker and I still get up in the middle of the night. So I'm glad that you clarified that, because we all do have this thing where I hear it every day of, if you don't have some sort of caffeine, you can't be productive. It was exactly what you've said. And right. It's hard to actually believe that there is a way to be productive without it. And I'm glad that you talked about her experience, and also you can gauge your own experience by your own habits. You know, what's going on? Do you sleep well? Are you irritable? Do you find that when your child asks you for something, sure, if you're in a good mood, it's very easy, but do you snap when you've been overwhelmed from the day?
That's right. I think this personalized calibration is an essential part of, number one, feeling better, reversing the overwhelm, resetting your hormones, starting with cortisol. And also, number two, taking the long road. So I don't want people to give up caffeine for 2 days and forget about all these other things that we're talking about. I want you to stay on the path. And we know staying on the path is the hard part. So many of us know what to do. We know TR time's a good idea. We
right.
know orgasm's a good idea. And I'm not saying, you know, you must do this every day. I'm saying, let's find out how you respond to these things and how you feel. You know, as you said, Jackie, within 7 days, just with 1 or 2 tweaks, you started to feel different in your body.
And I, Yes, I would love you to talk about that, the Dr. Sarah supplement suggestions. I didn't mean to interrupt about that, but it was a very, very big shift for me.
Yeah, well, this is part of the category that we're in. You know, number one on this prescription is the hit the pause button, and I've given you three suggestions there. Mm-hmm. Number two is that we're filling in the nutritional gaps. We're talking about some of the foods that really support you, and one of those tweaks that we talked about initially was omega-3s, fish oil. So we've already talked about the B vitamins. You know, if you take B5, for instance, it helps you reduce your adrenal production of cortisol. We know that from really good studies. Omega-3s, fish oil, also helps to lower cortisol. So you can eat wild Alaskan salmon. I would want to make sure that you're not getting any mercury contamination from the fish oil that you're getting. But that has been well proven in randomized trials to lower cortisol. So many women tell me when they come to see me, oh, yeah, I know fish oil is a good idea. I've got some in the fridge. I don't take it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those supplements you want to take regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other piece that I want to mention, also not wildly popular, is to limit alcohol. So I know how it is. I was there when I was 32 years old. I was craving a big old glass of red wine pretty much every night.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the sucky part. Alcohol robs from you the thing you're trying to get from it. It raises cortisol, and this effect actually persists for 24 hours, sometimes even longer. So if you're someone with high cortisol and you're like I was when I was 32, 13 years ago, and you're having a glass of wine to help transition or just to create some ease.
Or to deal. I mean, that's really also just to deal, right? Just say,
yes.
You know what, I have 3 more hours of homework, making dinner. Just the routine of here we go, I'm so tired, and I have to keep going for the next 3 hours. So it's that shift you're talking about.
That's right. That's right. And I'm not saying you have to do every single thing that I've mentioned so far, but here's what we know. I mentioned already alcohol raises your cortisol. This lasts for more than 24 hours. It's probably the reason why it reduces your deep sleep. So that adrenal repair conversation you're having at night has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and alcohol is robbing you of that full conversation. The other thing that happens with alcohol that we'll talk about in a future class that we have is that it raises your bad estrogens. And this is not such an issue when you're a perfect hormonal specimen in your 20s, but once you're 35 to 40, and especially older, you want to have the right balance between your good estrogens and your bad estrogens. Alcohol raises your bad estrogens. This is well proven in a study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association last year, showing that as little as 3 to 6 servings of alcohol per week is associated with a greater risk of breast cancer and higher levels of estrogen. So 3 to 6 servings. My message there is not to quit alcohol, because definitely there's some benefit to it. Drink less, just improve the quality. Drink better wine, just drink less of it.
And, you know, it's funny, a lot of other people also, this has been a common thing, people that aren't connected, one of their strategies is, I'll just give you 2 more strategies with it, actually. One is some people dilute their alcohol with ice. As gross as that sounds, with a glass of wine, I've watched at least 3 different people when they're trying to lower their wine consumption, and it's completely worked. And then another person I know only buys, again, didn't increase the quality, but she buys those single serving, like it is only 1 glass of wine. And
yeah.
So she knows she can't over pour when she gets too stressed. She really just sticks to that 1 single serving glass, and knowing that she has completely portion controlled her wine. So I know that it's, for me, it's hard. I mean, I want a glass of wine every single night. Definitely there might be a couple nights a week I don't, but mostly I do. And, you know, it gets to the point where you have to to put a stake in the ground, and you have to say, okay, this is, I cannot deny that I get snappy at night, or I am trying to make that transition, or I am waking up in the middle of the night, and whatever works for you, especially for me, I have to come up with those real world techniques that say, okay, here's the strategy I'm going to try tonight, or here's the strategy I'm going to try tomorrow night, and you'll start to figure them out and see what works for you. It's just like making vegetables taste good. You know, people are like, oh, I know I should eat my vegetables, but it's experimenting with recipes, experimenting with different soups and things like that. So you're like, whoa, this tastes great. It really is that same exact habit, same exact trial and error that you can do to build this new technique of, I've got to put the stake in the ground when it comes to the alcohol, when it comes to the coffee. You know, and I think that just trial and error really work in this particular case.
I love that. And can I add a couple more real world suggestions? Because I think
Yes. We
all need these. And as someone who really wanted, you know, full bodied red pretty much every night, I have worked with this quite a bit myself. And two other things that work for me. For some reason, I just can't wrap my head around the ice. I know that works for some people, especially
no,
in Chardonnay.
I know. It doesn't work for me either, but I definitely, if you don't really care about the taste very much, I guess, that could be a strategy for you.
Yeah, I really care about the taste. And So the suggestions I have there instead of ice are, number one, to either make a spritzer. So this is where you can use some sparkling water. And it works better, I think, with white wine than red wine for me, especially
yes.
in the summertime. And then another suggestion is to call it sangria. So instead of adding whatever the hard alcohol is that you add to sangria, I do about half sparkling water, half either red or white wine. I'll add some fruit, you know, sometimes some cucumber, some lemon, some lime, and it just makes it still feel like a party and still feel like a transition, like I can cope, but it's
yes.
a lot less alcohol. And then one final suggestion there that I've been working for the last couple of years is that on the nights when I don't drink, and this is for me about 3 to 5 nights a week, I will use one of those cute little wine glasses. I have the stemless kind because I've got kids and the stems just break all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I will use artisanal vinegar. So I get like a really interesting balsamic vinegar, usually white balsamic vinegar with some kind of flavoring, such
mm-hmm.
as, you know, one I like right now is a honey chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
And you put about 1 or 2 tablespoons of this artisanal vinegar in with some water, and it gives you kind of that effervescent, interesting feeling. It's very alkalinizing, and it feels like a treat. It feels like you're putting that stake in the ground, as you mentioned, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard that. I'm going to try that tonight.
Try it tonight. I have to say, I'm in Berkeley, California. There are artisanal vinegars everywhere. You can also get them online.
Yes, there's a great, and I'll give you the link. I get my balsamics from a company called Fiore. It's in Maine, and they have all different flavors. Right now I have tangerine, which sounds like, wait, tangerine balsamic vinegar? But when you put it in a salad, it's like makes an instant summer salad, and it's so good. And so it's so easy to get these things online now in a way that you just couldn't dream of, you know, maybe 5 years ago. So I'm absolutely going to try that because I've never heard that before. And you're right. What you're really talking about here is finding the strategy that helps you with that shift, and also finding the strategy that helps you with the shift in the morning. You know, for me, I stopped drinking coffee for a variety of reasons, because I wasn't really drinking coffee. I was really drinking milk and sugar with a splash of coffee. And I had to be honest with myself about it. So that's why I stopped drinking it. For me, it wasn't enough to go to decaf, because that's not, I wasn't really drinking decaf coffee again. I love what you're talking about here, because that's really what we're looking for when we're talking about the coffee, or we're talking about the wine, or we're talking about all of these things, is you're looking for a shift. You feel a certain way. You feel down, or you feel beaten, or you feel overwhelmed, or whatever it is, and you're looking for that shift into a new energy space, or just a new mind space. And the more that you start to and again, I don't mean to go on and on, but the more you start to do this trial and error and you find your shift, the easier it's going to be to regulate the cortisol levels. So I just love the suggestions you just made.
Well, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And I think it's so important that we have effective substitutes, because we know. I mean, I know this for myself. I know it for the past 20 years of taking care of women and knowing everything that can go wrong with the female body. That whole white knuckling experience of just trying to use willpower, It's not very effective. I mean, it works for some people, but it doesn't work for me.
And it's out the window. I found that I could do it very easily in my 20s when you're talking about I'm the perfect hormonal balance picture.
Right. Willpower works well then.
Then I did start taking a bath. I said, oh, I love baths. How come I'm never taking baths? How come I always find some excuse not to? And it is sort of these combinations that started making it easier at 2 o'clock to not, you know, want a huge pizza. Because for me, that's, you know, I know you were mentioning chocolate or different things. For me, it's pizza, which is really, I think, sort of the same, like that starchy white carb, you know, this craving for it. And suddenly my cravings in general went down.
Yes. So that's one of the things I want you to be watching as you're calibrating. I think it's so important for our listeners to be watching, okay, is there like a little crack in that craving for pizza? Is there like a little opening of the door so that I'm not hearing the jungle drums quite as loudly when it comes to whatever your trigger food or your avalanche food is? You know, we've got an epidemic of an eating disorder, I think, across the country, across the world. And I'm really interested in finding ways that are sustainable for you to step into your own radical health. And I wanted to mention one other thing that is related to the point you just made, Jackie. I know some of the women listening to us are mothers. And my husband at breakfast today was reading to me Brené Brown. It's funny, I got her latest book and he absconded with it. He's been reading it, devouring it, really, and I haven't had a chance to read it. So he was reading to me the following. He said, oh my gosh, look at this. Brené writes, are you parenting? It's not that we want to ask ourselves this question. Are you parenting the right way? That's the question we tend to ask ourselves as parents. Instead, we want to ask, are you the adult that you want your child to grow up to be? Are you the adult that you want your child to grow up to be? And when I heard that this morning, I was thinking about us talking today, and I was thinking about, okay, I've been in this process of managing cortisol for a long time. I'm not, you know, it's not a destination where you get to this place of perfect, ideal hormonal specimen like you are in your 20s, but instead you just figure out how to adjust and reset maybe a little sooner than you did 5 or 10 years ago. But I love this question. Are you the adult that you want your child to grow up to be? Whether you have a child or not, just that idea of looking at how you're living your life, and instead of the words that you say to your children, whether you have kids or not, instead of the words that you say about how you want them to live their lives, how is it that you're modeling your own life architecture? Like, I was thinking about how I've been working 12-hour days recently, not sleeping enough, doing a little bit too much social media, frankly, neglecting my children a bit, and not getting as much exercise. And it just got me to pause and sort of look at this whole cortisol question with fresh eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want my children to manage stress effectively. I want them to be productive. I don't want them to be, you know, when it comes to stress, it's not that stress is good or bad. It's that we want to manage it effectively. We know if you have no stress at all, it tends to make you apathetic and lazy. But too much stress makes you overwhelmed and unproductive. We want to be, just like with cortisol, in that Goldilocks position of not too high and not too low. And I want my children to manage stress, manage cortisol very effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so that idea of modeling it for them is a way for me to get out of that wiring that so many of us have as women of, okay, I'll take that bath, but let me do this one other thing first.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that.
I watch my husband do this all the time. He has such a fine-tuned ability to stop any overwhelm. The second it's this automatic thing where he's worked very hard, and he suddenly says, okay, it's time for a steam. And it's an automatic thing. The habit, okay, it's time for peppermint tea. It's time for this. It's very possible because it is really just a habit. It really is. Sometimes it feels like, oh, God, I love what you both are saying, but, you know, maybe when I get more childcare, maybe when I get more money, maybe when I get more this, maybe when I get more that. But it really is this habit change that you can start to focus on and say, okay, I can, instead of doing this habit, I can do this. It's the replacement. You know, I smoked when I was in college, and I heard the best way to quit a habit or start something new was to, A, have your why, you know, have your overwhelming, compelling reason of why you should quit. But, B, you have to replace it with something. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to have to replace smoking with something else. And it just turns out that I happened to be going to a ski town for a semester. And I said, well, I have my overwhelming reason. I can't smoke and be in skiing and altitude and mountains. So I threw up my pack. But the biggest thing is I actually replaced smoking a cigarette with skiing, and actually a completely different activity. And I do watch people that are successful with these shifts and successful with some of the things you're talking about coming up with the replacement activity. It's just as easy for my husband to sit down with a glass of wine as it is for him to say, okay, I'm going to take a steam. It really is just as easy. And for those people who say, well, you know, that sounds really great, but I don't have anyone to watch my children, or that sounds really great, but I still have to make dinner, and who's going to make dinner? You're always going to be faced with something. You have to sit there in your own mind and say, nobody's going to get anything if I don't start taking care of myself. And I know we hear this all the time, but it's very true. You watch, you get a terrible shot of perspective when you watch a mother who is suddenly flattened and can't do anything and didn't take care of themselves along the way. So it's very important when you're seeing this muffin top, when you're seeing these kinds of things, to say, I'm not going to wait until things go really wrong. I have to sit there and say, nobody's going to do anything without me at my best. Like that whole thing, nobody's happy when mama's not happy, or, you know, I remember hearing that. It's extremely important to take this now. And not later, and not say, oh, you know, well, when I get this new job, I'll be able to do what Dr. Sarah is saying. Because I have that tendency, and a lot of people have that tendency. And you find a role model. I know this sounds crazy. Mine happens to my husband, because I watch him exchange bad habits for new replacement habits all the time. Find a role model who's doing it well and say, okay, I can do that. That can fit within my life.
You know, I'm fortunate, Jackie, in that I know your husband a little bit. And I have to say, even though I haven't measured his cortisol, the time that I've spent around him, I think he's totally normal in terms of his cortisol levels, right? Because he is really good at, you know, catching a good laugh when it's a tense moment. He's really good at taking a break when he needs to. I've seen him at a lot of conferences where, you know, we're in a conference room from 9 in the morning until 9 p.m. He is good at managing his neurohormonal dashboard. He is managing his cortisol as well as he's managing his retirement account. I have a sense. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell us.
No, he'll do it. He'll just say he'll crank through something very intellectually intense, and I'll say, okay, it's time to. He has so many options. You know how sometimes as women we tend to close doors? Well, I can't do that because of this, and I can't do that because of that. He seems to be the opposite, where he finds things that are constantly opening doors that will help manage the stress levels. Oh, well, I could do this. Well, I could do that. Well, I could do this. And I think that, you know, when you're, you know, you've taught, especially when you're talking about this pause, that first step, I think that it's so important to just keep opening the doors, because if you do your the first step of your protocol, that pause, that makes it much easier to do the second step of your protocol, which is to reduce the alcohol, reduce the caffeine. All those things, when you're not pausing, when you're not taking that first step, it's so much harder. Well, I got to have the alcohol. I got to have the coffee to get through that meeting. I got to keep going. So I just want to just keep reiterating what you're saying, how, because it's such a turnaround for me, and it's such a turnaround for most people, because there are very, very few women that I talk to that don't have a sense of overwhelm in their life, regardless of what their framework that they've signed up for is.
Very true. And I feel like you also named another piece that's really important that I would love to just be a tiny bit more explicit about before I give you two last juicy botanicals that can really move the needle when it comes to cortisol. And that is, you talked about learned helplessness. And I think women especially, you know, from watching them, listening to them for 20 years, we get into these patterns probably fueled by cortisol that's too high or too low, that make us feel helpless and get us into that place that you were describing, the maybe when I get more childcare, maybe when, you know, my mother finally steps up and helps me with planning a vacation so that she can be with the kids, or maybe when I get that job that is going to pay me more money so that I can go get those massages that Dr. Sarah is talking about. So there's this learned helplessness that makes us behave helplessly even when we have these opportunities to help ourselves, to step out of this misery. Because I want to give women hope. I want women to realize that, I think I said this before, I maybe say this every 5 minutes to myself, it's easier to balance your hormones than it is to live with the misery of hormone imbalance. It's easier to fix your cortisol than to live with the fallout of your cortisol running your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to enunciate that learned helplessness. And now, should we talk about some of these herbal therapies?
Yes.
Okay, so this is step 3 of our plan. We already did pause button. We already did filling in the nutritional gaps and eat this, not that. Number 3 is botanicals that are proven to help you. And I've got 2 to talk about. Number 1 is rhodiola. And number 2 is Relora. So when it comes to botanicals, there's a lot of different herbal therapies that you'll especially hear from alternative practitioners about. You know, there's a long list of what are called adaptogens.
Mm-hmm.
The ginsengs are an example of this. And what's interesting is that even though many of the adaptogens, not including rhodiola, have been used for thousands of years, most of them have not been studied in randomized trials, and most of them have not been studied in humans. So this is really interesting to me. I've been studying Ayurveda, for instance, for many years. Ashwagandha, one of the main adaptogens of Ayurveda, has not been studied in a randomized trial in humans and shown to affect cortisol. So even though a lot of people will recommend ashwagandha, I don't recommend it because I don't have the best quality of evidence to support that it helps you manage your cortisol. So I like rhodiola. It's very well proven to help you lower cortisol. And then Relora is another one. Relora is interesting. I know you know a lot about Relora too, Jackie. And
I take it every day. I just don't even know what I would do without Relora. Please tell me the magic of Relora because I don't fully understand it.
Well, the interesting part about Relora, and for those of you who are not familiar with Relora, it is a combination of magnolia and also philodendron, so two herbs that have been shown to reduce nighttime cortisol. It's also been shown to reduce stress-related eating. Now, most of the studies that have been done were looking at women who are overweight and obese, but it's been shown also to reduce anxiety. So I think it probably works in women who are not overweight and obese, but we don't have that data to support it. But the fact that it reduces anxiety, and I think we have so many women who struggle with anxiety, it's sort of a synonym for overwhelm. I just think it's a really good choice for people. So Relora and Rhodiola, I think, are very effective.
And you take that in combination with, obviously, the B and the... And we'll, again, for our listeners, we'll actually put that together like Dr. Sarah's protocol, or, and you'll be able to see. And I will honestly say for me, after I got those recommendations and I started taking Rhodiola and I started taking the, you know, again, what you said, the fish oil, you have it, you know it's good. Sometimes you take it, sometimes you don't. But what you'll understand, and we all know this, is that all of this information is fantastic, but you're like, oh, God, if only I felt a little better, then I could be able to follow all this information. But you, one thing I will tell you is when I started taking the supplement pack, the results of my mind getting not more clear, but the overwhelm going down and me actually starting to feel noticeable happiness during the day and fewer cravings of what I mentioned, the pizza, that was a really significant thing because I know we're all looking for that win sometimes. And it had a much more quick result than I was anticipating. I was pretty surprised.
Yes. And I want to honor you too because I think it's so important that we reiterate that this can be stunningly simple. Like you can just start with the fish oil and maybe the B vitamin. Do it for 7 days. After 7 days, maybe you start taking a regular hot bath. And as you start to feel better, there's this lovely unfolding that happens. And you have more energy to bring in some of these other things. Maybe you bring in the Relora. Maybe you decide that you're going to have more regular orgasms. And for those of you who are having mercy sex, or maybe you have the marriage deathbed and you haven't had sex in months and months or even years, I've got good news for you, and that is your wiring stays the same in your girly parts, and you can reclaim this form of balancing your cortisol regardless of how long you might have had a dry spell. And there's one form in particular that I really like that I want to mention called orgasmic meditation, which is not intercourse. It's really good, especially for women who have any vaginal dryness or are in that last 1 to 2 years of perimenopause before their final menstrual period and when their estrogen starts to drop. Orgasmic meditation is a really great way to kind of combine the cortisol benefits of mindfulness plus female orgasm, stroking the clitoris. So if you want to learn more about that, we can figure out how to get that information to you. We can share some resources. But I just think it's really fantastic that you've shared that part, Jackie, about just making a few tweaks, you know, just one thing, and how that can start to amplify your good feelings, your happy brain chemicals. When your cortisol's in place again, you just feel like you're driving the bus completely differently.
And you feel like you have hope again. I have to say that was a big thing because you hear so many different things are going to work for you. You hear, well, if you just have more nutrient-dense food and greens and vegetables, you'll have more energy. If you just do this and you start to work out, you'll have more energy. That's kind of the confusing part of the whole a lot of the prescriptions out there. And what I never understood at my age, you know, in 40, was that my hormones could be playing such a big part because, you know, my mother, who's in her 60s, talks about hormones a lot, right? She's very familiar with some of the stuff you're talking about. But I didn't understand how much my hormones were playing a role in so many different parts of my life. Now, of course, maybe I'm the exception to the rule. Maybe a lot of people know that. But for those of you who are listening and think, oh, well, muffin top is just a part of the 30s and me being overwhelmed and snapping at my kids, well, why wouldn't I be? Because look at how much I have going on. And why would I be able to focus anymore? Because I'm not getting much sleep. All these kinds of things for me started getting so much better after I started following what Dr. Sarah was saying, and I was pretty skeptical because I've gotten so much information, and I said, well, you know, it can't hurt. I wonder if this is the problem, but it also was almost upsetting to think, well, is this just going to be another thing that might not work? But what is most important here, and I have to reiterate what Dr. Sarah was saying, is that you just break off one thing. Just one thing. Just start to do that one thing, because that's what I did. A lot of the things she was talking about, I said, oh, like I mentioned, so oh, well, I'll take a bath when I, you know, have some more time, and you know, I got to do some other things. I'm sure I'd love to get together with my one of my best friends, but she travels constantly. But I started to just say, okay, what seemed easiest from her prescription? I'll just start there. And that's what I did. And from there, because I was able to get a better grasp on things, then I could start trying the other suggestions that she's saying. So I feel really privileged to be able to offer that. I mean, you know, having to go to Northern California, the Bay Area, to be able to get an appointment with you, to see you, you know, the whole thing. And it's you're able to deliver this information. And, of course, we're going to actually talk more about the book, the upcoming book you have in the subsequent classes. But I do want to wrap something up. We are going to be talking about thyroid in the next class, and that's one of the Charlie's Angels that Dr. Sarah talks about, because there are three things that you're going to learn how to really do what the patients in her practice do to start to feel completely differently, to start attacking their weight loss issues, and obviously a lot of other things. But, Dr. Sarah, if there's anything you want to add, please do now. Otherwise, we will see you in the next class where we'll start to talk about thyroid. And, of course, you can look at your dashboard. You're going to be able to get the quiz on your dashboard that she was saying so you can follow along, as well as a few other materials, just supporting materials, that some quick glances so that you can really start to make this happen in your life.
Well, I feel like you have wrap this up so beautifully. I wanted to enunciate one piece that you mentioned, Jackie, that I think is so important, and that is the sense of hope. And you're right. I mean, I am someone who has been so attentive to all the needle movers when it comes to health. You know, starting when I was, 12 years old, and I started reading Dean Ornish, and I started doing that like insane, super ultra low fat thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's so confusing, and women get so jaded because we hear so many different things. You know, if you ask 100 nutritionists, are eggs a good idea? 50 will say yes, 50 will say no. It's so confusing to figure out what to do. And I find that most doctors aren't willing to share their personal story. My personal story is that I was a complete stress case at age 32. I figured it out, and I want you to shorten your learning curve. I want to share those things that really make a difference when it comes to getting your hormonal Charlie's Angels back into place again. So I hope these cortisol suggestions are landing with you. They really do move the needle. They're proven to do that. I feel like women were part of this uncontrolled medical experiment, which was totally shameful when it comes to hormone replacement therapy with synthetic hormones. You know, it used to be that Premarin was the number one prescription in the U.S., and I'm so glad that we can hold a really high bar for women going forward in women's health and only talk about things that are really effective, that really help us feel better, that reverse the overwhelm and get us back in our bodies again. So, yes, we're going to talk about thyroid next. I can't wait to talk about thyroid. We have so many women who struggle with borderline thyroid function, and they're often dismissed by their doctors. So I can't wait to talk about thyroid with you next time.
Absolutely. And again, make sure that we start to, if you have any questions, you can ask them in the team, ask them in the group, because I know that there will be questions. And when you have that support, you don't feel like you're so alone. Obviously, that's what Peer Trainer does so well. And so we will see you in the next call. Dr. Sarah, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks, everyone, for your attention today. Thank you, Jackie. So happy to be with you.
Absolutely. Okay. See you next time.
Okay. Bye.